You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Margarita Monet from Edge of Paradise, and you're tuned into Side Jams with Brian Raisman.
Hey everybody, it's Brian Raisman with Side Jams, here today with singer, rhythm guitarist, gleefully maniacal metal frontwoman Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm, who is also a painter.
Yes, a newly reformed painter. Yeah, man, thank you so much for having me. This is awesome. You're actually the first person that I get to talk about my painting with, because it's fairly new. It's been something in the back of my head for a while, and so I appreciate you talking to me about it.
That's cool. Thank you. Yeah. No, I mean, I find it interesting because you love music and you're doing lots of music, and we were talking about earlier for Billboard about the whole lockdown thing and how that it. Now, with these paintings, I mean, Ashley, your publicist, sent me, like, just 7 total here. Were these done during lockdown? Or were these done before?
These ones were actually done pretty recently. They're actually a little unfinished. I have some of them here. Because I get to glaze them. And it's like almost like trying to figure out, is that the end goal, or do I get crazier with it? You know, just keep,
that's a newer one. I don't know if she has sent me that. That one's got what? Oh, here it is. Just like a lot of these things have a dripping quality to them. Like there's a sea of colors and something is kind of sort of oozing in.
It's definitely a strange part of my psyche, because if you look in my closet, there's a lot of black.
Yes.
And I don't have a whole lot of color in my life, you know, versus this. But when I first started getting into doing art, you know, I kind of started with sketching and just a lot of like abstract ways of doodling and doing these things. And I would stop and start off of it because I hadn't quite found my medium and the place that that feels like home to me, like feels like it can actually do something. So when I got into acrylic painting, I'll end up doing the layers of color, and I'm not necessarily using a paintbrush. I'm using some scraper tools in order to spread things around and make little indentations and a lot of texture. And then I will layer over that with acrylic pour over paint, which is so much fun and it's so messy. I almost feel like I am this little kid, you know, again in like first grade, just like discovering different colors and how to combine things and what can be a little bit more radical. So it's been kind of this weird extension of, I guess I have this colorful side that I need to get out in some way. And so just started doing it and got a bunch of drop cloths and I've messed up a bunch of old Levi's because now they've been dubbed my painting jeans.
There we go. That's your new fashion statement.
Yeah, exactly. Going to be splatter paint everywhere.
So yeah, do you want, could you pull out that painting again? You can show it right to the camera.
Absolutely.
Oh, there we go. Awesome.
So
that's, I mean, that's interesting. It sort of has these waves that are going horizontally, some vertical, a lot of like very darker purple, red, blue, and then like lighter colors kind of dripping down. And then this little black border. What, when you create something like that, what are you thinking?
Honestly, I'm putting on music most times and just kind of going with that and almost trying to create a visual. Like for this one was actually what was on. I put on some, you know, some, you know, 80s hair metal stuff going on. And I believe this one was this, I think this was Winger. Pretty sure. But you know, there's just an eclectic mixture of, you know, of different things that I enjoy listening to. There was some Dio, some Priest in there. But I don't know, for me, it's a lot of flying by the seat of my pants, because sometimes, and I'll show you one of these.
Sometimes, yeah, there's like seven that I have total that she sent me.
Oh, goodness. Sometimes there are some happy accidents, which ended up happening with this guy, which I don't know. It depends on the eye of the beholder. We could do it this way. sometimes I feel like having the drips down, it's like, oh, of course everything drips down. But yeah. I ended up not necessarily wanting to use so much black, but I wanted to have kind of this almost teal color kind of coming down with it. So you almost have to layer the teal first, and then I poured the black.
Yeah.
And then just kind of created some indentation here. It's a lot of fun.
It's like an invading, I guess I'm a horror and sci-fi fan, but it's almost like this presence that's kind of invading the frame. Did you think about that?
It's very Stranger Things right now.
And that's a more black and red kind of canvas with a lot of, it's like a lot of trails too across
a lot of trails. And I just love how when you're kind of drip painting and kind of moving things around, there's a lot of motion, and then certain things in the background will bleed through. Like I have this guy, that's probably the more colorful one.
Oh yeah. And, so this one has got more like an orange, yeah, pinks and yellows.
Got some neon stuff going on there. And then there's always some weird spooky thing. Like, I don't know, what is this guy, a little devil? I don't really know. You know,
it's but like it's a devilish like, figure that's with these two arms outstretched, kind of penetrating the black. And there's also that black thing. You seem to have a lot of this black ooze, like this thing on the side of a lot of the paintings that's kind of entering. That's your black?
Yeah, that's my black. And that's interesting that you notice that, because that's something that my bandmates told me when they were, I kind of had them out drawing, and they were looking at them, and they're like, you know, there is, I mean, as for as colorful as you're making all of these, I like, there's still that darkness to that. So it's interesting to see the type of the different parts of maybe your personality that will come through without you trying.
Yeah.
And that's what I kind of, here's another one with some black in it. But
now that's interesting. You could hold that up again. Yeah. So you have all these sort of blue, because I'm for the audio version of the podcast anyway, like there's a lot of blue and white dripping down. And then again, there's that black presence kind of seeping in.
Yeah. Never really goes away. Yeah, but it's interesting to play with that dark and light. And I'm sure that's an extension of, you know, of my other creative outlets. But what I love the most about painting right now is that I'm not doing it for anything. Kind of like in the same way that I wasn't really doing music for anybody or anything but myself early on. And then, you know, after years, the music then becomes, oh, well, that's an extension of your career. And now you have a lot of people, you know, working for you that depend on this to happen. And so I'm not saying that music becomes like work sometimes. There is an element to that.
Of course it does.
Try not.
Yeah, it's, but like, it's like writing for me. There's some drudgery that you have to go through.
There is some work. There's some like, okay, this is the, you know, the professional. Whereas the great thing about discovering some other outlet, and there's a couple of things in my life, you know, I love to cook. I also love to fish, and it's all, and with the painting, it is all very meditative. And there's this escape that you have when you're doing it. And it's just this kind of pure joy. And then all of a sudden, like 3 or 4 hours go by and we're like, whoa, just time traveled through making a mess with paints. So what else do I got? Oh, here's a strange one. This one, I decided to be a little bit more minimalist.
All right, that's the right way to look at this. This is like a dark blue. There's blue, dark blue, purple, and you have this white line that's like almost like a lightning bolt, just kind of slicing from the top right to the lower left. That's the proper way to look at it. I want to make sure I get that.
That's where it is in my head right now, but it's so funny because I keep putting them down and trying to figure out, because really, I mean, that could work as well. It just it depends on the eye of the beholder. So like really, I mean, the next step for me, like I have to glaze a lot of these just so that there's it'll make the color pop a little bit more. And then
they survive.
And then I'm going to try to get them properly framed and then try to figure out what I'm going to do about it. But it's like everything, I kind of leave a lot of things up to chance. Uh-huh. I like to do that with like free form doodling too, where it's almost like you throw yourself headfirst into the maze, mm-hmm. and then almost kind of decides to reveal whatever it's going to be. And sometimes you feel like, oh, did I take that too far? You know, like maybe, you know, like my last step before the final form is where it's at. And then sometimes those happy accidents, there's little things that bleed through that you want to accentuate, you know, and you want to be like, well, that's the point. That was the reason for me doing that. So, yeah.
Well, now what was the last one called?
Oh, this one.
Line one. Yes.
The line one. I was calling it the Eye of the Storm, but I feel like because I'm in Hailstorm, that's a little cheesy. So I've yet to name a lot of these. I really, what I should do is sit down again with some music and try to come up with some proper titles for everything. Like I said, I'm really new to this. When I found that medium, and then also mm-hmm. again, not using the brushes, using the scraping techniques and the pouring over techniques. I feel like I kind of finally found my place in it where I can expand, and there's like really no rules, and I'm not even sure what I'm looking for. But I'm going to continue to do it. I've gotten a couple, it's funny because I've gotten a couple people that are like, oh, like, can you frame that and send, you know, can I get that from you? And I'm like, I totally can, but like, I'm not doing it for anyone else but myself right now. And maybe at some point in time there can be, some charity involved or do some good with some art. With it, but yeah,
there's this one here, which is your, it's like, it looks like it's just a whole bunch of dripping colors, but you know, it could almost be like you're in a jungle with vines.
Yes. Is that this one? Yeah. That's this guy.
Yeah. My colors are probably slightly different on my phone.
It's almost like this, you know, with these bars that you're behind, almost a little prison-esque, and it felt like almost this vantage point, you know, where you have this like view to the outside,
right,
whereas
right.
maybe that's a landscape in the back but you know, there's no real way to get there. So yeah, it's interesting. And so at first I was doing it like this, and then as soon as I flipped it, it almost looks like there's some type of water or some type of reflection, or maybe that's a sunset. I'm not sure. It's like, you know, every time I look at them, I see something else. And that's what I love about it as well, is like, it's never really like whatever you started out with as the concept. It's like, it's almost like the piece of art goes, nope, that's not what I want right now. This is what I am. I'm revealing myself to you.
So do you see it almost like you're turning, it's like you're almost turning your brain off, and not in a bad way, but you're just kind of going, you're going through these motions, but you're just doing whatever is being dictated by what's happening at that moment. And then you suddenly go, oh, wait a minute.
It's that is absolutely how I do it. And I've found so much peace with that too, because I have a very hard time shutting things off. You know, I'm definitely a serial insomniac, and so to try to find those things where you still feel like you're accomplishing something, and you still feel like you're doing something and immersing yourself in something creative, but when you're able to shut that part of you off, and that you shut your brain off, you're not thinking about anything but what's right in front of you. And it's almost like, you know, unveiling this mystery, you know, trying to follow the story and literally just chasing whatever gets you excited. Which is where my mind goes when I, you know, when I'm just writing for writing's sake and writing a song. So the fact that I'm able to do that now with something else, and I could say the same thing about fishing, because the only thing you're thinking about is you know, when are you going to reel in that hook?
how long have you been fishing for, by the way?
I've been fishing since I was a kid. It had been a couple years since I had lived next to a lake, and right now I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, you know, right off of a lake, and so really kind of immersed myself into that when I moved here and got back into it. And it's kind of nostalgic for me because we would do that when we were camping as kids, like with my dad and all that. So, it's kind of nice to be in that place too. And now, you know, right now, especially since it's summer, I end up going out on my back porch with a couple of, drop cloths and all of my paint supplies and my old Levi's that are completely covered in paint because that's how I clean my blades now.
Yeah, exactly. You're just going. It'll be your new, jeans line. Just the purpose. I mean, if they could sell distressed jeans, they might as well just sell those, right? You could paint, yeah, you could paint them. You could actually paint a design. That would be kind of interesting, wouldn't it?
that would be cool. I've done that before. Especially, you know, when, I don't know, when you get to a certain point, you're like, These are tired. These need to be, you know, evolved. And so you just get out the paintbrushes. But it's funny because now when I paint, I'm literally, it's kind of like fishing because I'm out and looking at the lake. And so I'm being inspired by all the sounds happening there too. And the birds and that you can kind of, you know, within the wind and everything. And so it's just, it's nice to be able to kind of connect with nature too while you're doing it, because it's almost like these things become a little bit more primal. I haven't in a while. I used to be obsessed with trees, and so I would do kind of like tree landscapes or certain parts of the tree, like instead of doing the entire picture, just like picking certain almost like frames out of the branches and trying to, you know, mimic that in a way. I may get back into that with the acrylic paints. You know, right now I'm in this phase where I'm very much into the beautiful chaos that comes along with it. So at some point in time, I'll, you know, be inspired by a little bit more of that structure, but.
So it's acrylic right now, paint. Oh, sorry. What?
For right now, I'm on the roller coaster ride.
So you have acrylic paints and canvas, right?
Mm-hmm. Acrylic paints and canvas. And like you said, sometimes I use the jeans when we're painting on clothing, which is always interesting. You know, I've given some of those pieces to some friends and, you know, they're like, this is great. This is like, I don't have to go to like some boutique-y place where like you spend $300 on a pair of jeans. I can just get Lizzie to paint on them. So I'm getting requests, but acrylic on canvas and then for my tools of choice, are either literally making a mess either with my hands or by kind of tipping the canvas as, you know, with the pour over paints, but using all of my layering techniques or the kind of cutting out and doing the textures, just with, you know, I have a set of scraping blades that I use, only because I don't know. And again, there's no like reasoning behind it other than that just felt right. You know, it felt good. And I guess that's all you can ask for when you're immersing yourself into art is, finding your happy place and finding what feels like an extension of you. So when it doesn't feel foreign, you know, I feel like that kind of that relationship that you can have with literally turning kind of your, you know, your insides out, you know, out into the open, you know, you need to be comfortable with your weapon.
So like have we gone all through all the paintings?
I think so. Hold on.
There's seven of them.
Did we do this guy? We did that guy. What is that? Oh. So did we get into this guy? This one has a like some neon blue in this one, and it kind of was experimenting again with the lines and kind of the drip and making sure that that's kind of even. So how I did that was I did one side kind of dripping this way, the other side to meet in the middle. And then I just kind of set it down on this angle. So some of the heavier paints would kind of bleed into each other. So like, then it kind of almost creates this almost like polygraph effect to it. And again, you used a lot of weird, almost red, but like, you know, desert sand actually, like as the base and the backdrop, just experimenting with a lot of those kind of earth tones. And then you layer over that with some of the neon colors. And then, you know, you end up getting kind of, again, with the black.
And the kind of indigo realm in a lot of it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Which I think is cool. So. It's like, I'm trying to think of like, I haven't been to the Museum of Modern Art in a while because there are painters like that have that. And I'm trying to remember who I'm thinking of. I mean, I'm kind of a big Dali and Magritte fan. I'm a big surrealist. Yeah. I love that stuff.
Yeah, the surreal stuff is amazing. I love going to any type of local like pop-up, like little art displays that happens a lot. Like over the summer, we'll be in some random, you know, place in Michigan or something, and you'll see it advertised and somebody will be renting out like just a space or a house. And there's all these like local, artists that get to display some of their works. And it's fun to immerse yourself and just you get to look at life in a little bit of a different way. And just see it through their eyes, through their art. There's a friend of mine, out of Cleveland, Ohio. Her name is Eileen Dorsey, and she's an amazing painter. Her thing is she works with acrylics as well, but she does a lot of the nature, and it's a lot of wooded areas, and like if you're standing right in the middle of it, and she ended up she does a lot of murals and all of those things, and her art is amazing, and she's been doing it for years, and actually got the opportunity to do a couple different things for some artists. So she's coming up in the scene. One of my favorites. I've been nerding out with her. I'm just like, hey, I finally started doing it. She's like, awesome. If you need any advice, like I'm here. So, you know, call to arms. I heard
the what?
It's like a call to arms. Like it's like, okay, what arty friends do I have that I can pick their brain on?
Well, I know that, and Marguerite had said to me, like, acrylic is more forgiving than oil paints. So, like, oil, you have to put a lot more effort. It's kind of funny. You always hear about people, like, restoring old oil paintings by, you know, their master painters. They find little things underneath because it's like, you know, they cover it over. Whereas with acrylic, I guess you can more, I don't know. What is the difference between, for you, between acrylic and oil painting?
For me, it's more of a freedom situation because I can get, like it's almost like the more of a mess that you make, the more layers that you can uncover. And what I like about the acrylic paints is that they will bleed into themselves when you want to. But when you're working with like layering, you can decide kind of later how much you want from the underneath to come up to the surface. Yeah. And it's just it's kind of fun. It for me. Again, maybe it's my inner child, but for me, it's almost like how it ends up revealing itself is the most fun for me in the most joyous way. And for me, I cake it on because when you're doing even just like the basis of it, you're able to work with, okay, well now I want to take the edge of my blade, kind of dip it in either the white or the black, and just kind of do random geometric shapes or random lines, because then that'll add one more layer of texture before I start getting into the top layer, just to create that depth, you know. And I feel like what you said is very true with the acrylics. It's a little forgiving as to, you know, how much or effort or how little you want to do. It's just a broad spectrum. So really there's no rules to it. And that's the beauty of it. So, yeah, I've just become very comfortable with doing that. And it's kind of like, if I can relate it to when you have a favorite instrument, like if you find an amazing guitar that when you sit down and play it, it feels like it's an extension of you and it feels like home and it almost plays itself regardless, you know, of the effort that you're putting into it. So, I relate it kind of to that, you know, like that's what makes me comfortable and gets me excited. And so, you know, for right now, I'm going to go deep in the rabbit hole. and I do like working within some limitations too. Whereas if you say, okay, I'm going to use canvas. I'm going to use these two types of acrylic paints, and I'm going to use my blades, and I'm going to use my hands, and that's it. I feel like now I'm only starting to realize how much I utilize that in my life as well. Whereas even, you know, my setup on stage, it's like I'm using Marshall JCM 800s. I'm using Gibson guitars, and I have a few pedals, and then that's it. Like the rest of it, and for the most part, especially now, most of my guitar tone will come from just what's happening with my guitar and the breakup of the amp. I hardly will ever, you know, add a different layer over top unless it calls for it in the song, but it's almost like that, the beauty of the simplicity and the limitations, you almost are a little bit more creative in it because it's coming from you and you don't get that, that almost over stimulation, you know, that comes with so much variety. You know, it's like when you go to a burger shop and it's like, okay, we got 5 things on the menu. That's awesome. Don't go to Cheesecake Factory where it's like a 70-page book. Like you're never going to decide what to do. It's just chaos. So yeah, a couple analogies for you.
Well, when I go out to eat, it's funny. Like my girlfriend and I will go out to eat to different places, but if somebody does something really well, then I often just get that same thing there because I know that restaurant does this dish really well. This restaurant does this thing really well. I mean, I venture out. We try different types of cuisine, so we go out. But
yeah, of course.
And my dad grew up in a small town in Illinois, so like I sort of inherited his Midwestern palate. You know, they kind of like, I like, you know, the burgers and fries thing and certain basic necessities. But then again, I ventured out in the Thai and other places, but it's, yeah, you need to have a variety of influences, I think, to keep things interesting. And I've, you know, in my career, I've done everything I cover music, movies, TV, books, comic books. And so it is sort of information overload, but I like to be able to make those connections. And again, that's why I like to do this podcast and to kind of connect you guys to other things like the fishing thing. I mean, you know, fishing is something I just never, well, I don't like getting up early in the morning, so that doesn't work, because I go to bed about 4. And then, but what, for you, what's the joy? Is it actually eventually catching the fish and having a meal, or is it just the actual act of fishing itself?
I've done all of the things. Like, we actually ended up, was a couple years ago, got really lucky with all of our catches and were able to, you know, fillet and actually have a fish fry. And that was rewarding in itself because it's like, yeah, lake to table. I'm providing for the family. You know, it's like, I catch it and I eat it, you know, very primal. But for the most part, and it depends on, you know, sometimes the fish really like me, sometimes they really don't. But really it's about the chase of it, I think, you know, and it's about the casting and the reeling in. And, I do a lot of shaky head and looking for bass kind of like on the bottom and or catfish and all of that but it's kind of in that same way of, you know, where you can kind of turn your brain off and there's only, you know, this is again, and with the limitations, like this is what you're doing right now and you're not thinking about anything else but like, okay, we cast, we reel in. Okay, you know, did you get them? Did you hook the, you know, was that a fish? Oh, that's a log, you know, you know, those kind of things. So it's, you know, it's another way to turn your brain off. And I think that's important. And I could say the same thing about cooking and all that. I it's important for people like us who are, you know, banking on the arts to keep things moving. You can kind of get, you can get burnt out in one, if you have all of your eggs in one basket, you know, you can kind of be like, all right, I've been plugging away at this for a long time. I need a sidestep. I need something to take me away from this so that I can come back to it with fresh eyes, fresh ears. So it's all, I used to feel guilty about it, you know, whereas I would spend, you know, oh my God, I just spent 4 hours painting when I could be practicing guitar, you know, or I could be doing something else that would be forward movement for the band. And then I realized that you shouldn't be feeling guilty for doing those things, because it is all, like what you said, it's all connected and they all help each other. You know, the great thing about having these small obsessions that you can kind of, you know, you pass the ball, you know, it's like, okay, now I'm doing this, now I'm doing that, is that it keeps everything creative and you're still working that creative muscle, but you're not getting tired of the one thing and you're not overdoing yourself in any one way. And so you don't get sick of it and you don't get tired of these things. So, and it's something that I had to learn is a good tool, and have to kind of convince myself that, like, no, they all work together. It's all good.
So do you think that maybe we'll see one of you? Obviously you have the Explorer Bird, which is almost as red as your gamer. We have almost matching gamer chairs. Yours is a little darker or brighter. Actually, it's more vibrant. Do you think you could see like a Lizzie Hale, you know, painted guitar with like one of your designs streaking across? It'd be kind of interesting, actually.
I have a couple like guitars that I probably would be brave enough to do that with, and I could screw them up a little bit. I might do that. That'd be interesting. I might have to strip it down a little bit, but that would be an interesting project, just to do something like this, and just with the and I'd have to end up putting a lacquer on top of it. That'd be fun. So you have all of these different kind of personalities. You have like the black and the red with the Explorer Bird, and that's like, you know, fiery, and then you have my OG Explorer, which is, you know, very, you know, classy, but still rock and roll, you know, Alpine white with the gold. And then you have the dark side of the personality, which is the black and the gold. And then you're going to have something that's just like, oh, this is all the color.
This is it. Your psychedelic guitar.
Yes, this is where the psychedelic can, yeah. Cool. Hippie guitar.
Awesome. That was a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, man. Yeah, thank you so much. Seriously, that's exciting. Like I said, like yeah, let's just dive in. I've you know, never really had a conversation with somebody about it before, so.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.